At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace, a podcast all about how faith impacts our guests' careers and lives. I'm Sean Bowles, here with my co-host.
I'm Bob Haston, and we're here to bring you unfiltered, powerful conversations with industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and culture shapers who are living out their faith in extraordinary ways. From billion-dollar boardrooms to creative industries, we reveal how God is moving through everyday, ordinary people just like you, and this podcast will give you courage, which is our goal.
Yeah, these are the stories you don't get to hear on Sundays. Plus, we get a dive deep in the latest trends in business, finance, entertainment, and politics, giving you real insight from a kingdom and biblical perspective.
This is where faith meets influence. This is Exploring the Marketplace.
Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. I'm Bob Haston with my friend Sean Bowles. And Sean, we have an exciting day today, don't we?
Yeah, today we're going to talk all about those moments when obedience feels really expensive and when generosity doesn't make sense on paper. But God meets you with provision and opens doors you couldn't probably open without it. And our guest is a founder and entrepreneur with a wild marketplace story, from giving away money to as a single mom to watching numbers not go down to buying a property the bank said would be impossible until literally on the call the approval changed. You're going to be stirred to trust. It's so good to hear stories like this, Bob. I love them.
Well, if you've been praying for a breakthrough around money, around deals, or favoring your life, this one's for you. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast, especially if you need stories that will give you courage for your career. Leave a review if you want to help spread the impact, and follow us on our socials at Sean Bowles or at Bob Haston so we can stay connected.
Bob, there's seasons where obedience feels like it's totally working against our spreadsheet. And have you noticed that the most stretching generosity often happens when cash is tight or when things just don't make sense?
Yeah, isn't that the way it is, Sean? You know, you're talking about the O word right now, obedience. Everybody loves that as almost as much as the B word, budget. So they go hand in hand. We have to be obedient to our budget. When cash is tight or when our budget's tight, you know, do we continue to be generous? Everything in us wants to control it and say no. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 11:24 says, one gives freely and grows all the richer, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Kingdom math, like, right? Kingdom math doesn't fit Excel formulas or our plans. And I think learning this is a really, really something that takes a lifetime.
Yeah, I think for me, I look at you and Lauren, and you guys are examples of me, to me and Sharia, being obedient in finances, and it shows up in every aspect of your life, really. And I don't say it lightly, but I notice it's not just generosity. It's that you guys have like an expanded capacity because of the obedience that you live in. And it reminds me of what Paul says, that God's able to bless you so abundantly, so you will abound in every good work, which is sounds like so cheesy or cliche unless you see someone living it out. And so Sheree and I have watched you guys, like there's definitely an expanded capacity on your life because of how you live your life.
And I don't know how to talk about that, except that that's just what God has given us and it's what we do. You know, you have time, you have energy, and you have money. So are you able to live extravagantly in all three? Are you able to learn to give away your time and your energy? And then, you know, does money follow, or do you learn to give away money and then time and energy follows? I know for me, you know, I listen to your stories. You've been, you know, at red light districts, you've been on mission trips, you've gotten cholera, you've gotten every kind of disease, you've gotten sick and almost died because you've been on the mission trips.
Malaria. Thank God not cholera, that's even worse, but malaria.
Malaria. So you've done that, and I've sat back, and I've never been on a mission trip, but I've funded mission trips, a lot of them. you know, for my family, for my wife. And so it's just an interesting concept about where are you obedient and where are you generous? And when you could be generous with your time going on and your heart going on all those missions trips, I could be generous, you know, financially. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the next phase of my life.
Well, yeah. And I think you're generous with your time too. I think I can think it goes back to a lot of people want, you know, incredible kingdom fruit, the 10X kind of factor kind of thing, or like the multiplication factor, the suddenlies. And I think there's rhythms that we set in place in our life. And one of them is around our resources, which is time and money and energy, these kinds of things. And when we're not obedient in those areas, our capacity doesn't grow. So we can't 10X. We might have a few of those moments, but we don't live in a lifestyle of like of God's kind of abundance in our life in those areas. And I think of you guys, again, I mean, not to toot your horn or anything, but just like just seeing you guys at the stage in life, because you're further advanced than where Sheree and I are, and with grandkids and, you know, in your four kids just married, or two of them are married, and watching your lives and just how you do life with your family, and then how you do life with your employees, do life with your church and the ministry aspect, do life with your friends. There definitely is something in your obedience that's caused, to me, a fruitfulness that shows up, not just in like a finances anymore, not just in one area. And I think a lot of people, when they look at the measures of success and those tickers, they literally just look at like status and money. They don't look at all the capacity areas that God wants to fill.
Well, you know, this world looks at status and money as a marker. And I think the kingdom says something different. The humble lead, we're to be servants, the last shall be first. When you get that in your life and you recognize, hey, there's no other place to go. When bad things happen, are you going to curse God and die like Job's wife said? Or are you just going to say, I'm in a season and I'm going to still worship God and be obedient to him, and I'm going to move forward because there's no other place to go.
There's no other place to go. That's so true.
Psalms 37 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. I love these Psalms because my life, you know, scripture is Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And so for me, trusting is, I think, the key to obedience. And I don't know how to say that, except that for my life, that's what the key to obedience has been.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jesus showed that one of the biggest tests of obedience is finances. And he talked about it a lot, even to the rich man. He's like, you know, go sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And the man's like, I give a lot already. He's like, yeah, but do what I say. And the guy's like, I can't do that. That's too high a price. Because he was really shaking up his value system. It wasn't about the money. Right. And you see it over and over where it's like, I've mentored people through the years, and one of the areas that if they're like wanting to grow really fast, I'm like, give God your financial journey and your obedience in that area, and you'll see if you're obedient or not, because it'll challenge you, and you'll see it yourself, you know.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I mean, this obedience thing, it is on a continuum, because hey, we're doing good in this season being obedient, and then, you know, the next thing happens and our obedience goes out the door, and we need our friends and the people that we're close to call us back to it. Like, hey, that's not who you are. Come back to this place where, you know, God's called you to be. And Sean, you and I have over the years been lucky enough, not only for us to be in relationship, but to be in relationship with other people who we've allowed into our lives, and they've allowed us into their lives. And so people have the ability to talk to us about what's happening with them, and we have the ability to talk to each other and them about what's happening in our lives, and we're not alone.
Yeah, I guess it's a good picture of like, when you do it alone, when you're isolated, it's harder to see even the fruitfulness of obedience, because, you know, and I've seen I've seen that with a lot of billionaires that I've come in contact with, is that they live very lonely lives or alone lives most of the time. And there's something about that where the kingdom is an invitation to do community and to do life with others. And a few of the billionaire guys that I've actually spent time with, somewhat mentored in the kingdom stuff, they ended up, one of the fruits of that was that they ended up getting plugged into different relationships and community where they were no longer the most powerful person in their lives, but they shared that power and that connection with other people. And so it's just that obedience thing is, it's a really hard thing to do alone. It's a really hard thing to walk out just in your own sphere under your own plan. It's really something that the body needs the body. And I think that's really profound.
Yeah. What you said is great. Like, think about becoming a billionaire and then finding people who you're not the biggest dude in the room, right?
Yeah.
Well, how do you do that? You've like, they talk to you around kingdom issues. They found you. You are, you know, an expert in the world in kingdom issues. And so they're talking to you. And when you start to say, okay, well, I'm really successful in this one area, and there's no one who's more successful than me. Maybe a billionaire would say that. But in different areas in their lives, there's people who have better marriages or they understand spiritual. So you don't have to, if you're a pastor out there saying, hey, I'm pastoring this huge church and nobody understands. Well, there's some business guys that understand, and there's some people who have other areas in their life that are doing better than you that understand. And so you look for those people to surround yourself with so that you're not alone.
I love that we turned to obedience talk about finances and extravagant giving into like really a relational talk, which is just, it's so like you and I, that's just where we go. Well, today we have a guest, Elena Huggins, who's the founder and entrepreneur of a business with remarkable marketplace testimonies. And she was once a newly single mom who obeyed God with radical generosity and saw supernatural provision. And later, a business owner who watched an impossible property turn into a loan approval that she shouldn't have got in real time. She's passionate about building with integrity. She loves the mental health space, and she helps coach people and leads with generosity, and she helps others trust God in the process. Today we have Elena. I can't wait.
I want to invite you to partner with us to spread the gospel around the world. And we're doing this through our TV shows and our podcasts, our social media. We're helping Christians navigate culture with a biblical worldview of what God's doing right now in society, news, entertainment, the church, through the Sean Bowles Show, which is our weekly commentary show on podcasts. We're building courage with our ministry audience for their calling and their careers for exploring the marketplace, which is a CBN news show and a podcast. And we're helping thousands to grow spiritually in their connection to Christ and training them to hear God's voice. And we're activating them in their gifts and helping them to have coaching tools for their inner development through Spiritual Growth Academy Online. On top of this, I get to minister around the world with Sound Biblical Truth on Prophetic Edge through YouTube all week long. And we have Sunday services even with YouTube. And we have weekly videos. And this doesn't even touch other social media that we do. I, of course, do a lot of ministry with TBN, and I host a lot of different media outside of what we're doing in our ministry. But we want to have you come help us. We want to invite you to help us expand our reach. And we are on testimony overload of the goodness of God, changing people's lives through the impact that we're having as a ministry. But we need you to help us create this media, this ministry. You can be a part of our team and our family. And we get to pray for you when you do this. We pray for our partners weekly. We get to resource you. We send you regular resources, both in the mail, but also online, because we want you to be equipped and reinforced. And we also have monthly partner meetings where you get to connect with me and our Bowles team online live, so you can feel the synergy of what God's doing and let it energize your life, as well as we get to pray for you live every month. And if you can't come live, you're still going to watch the video and get the prayer, because we take whatever God's doing in our ministry and we impart it to you so you can have the benefit. But become a partner today so our fruit becomes your fruit.
Welcome back. We're here with Elena Huggins. We're so happy to have you, Elena.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Take us on your journey of like how you started your career, because I know that it didn't start easy.
No, not at all. I think career-wise, I've always dabbled when it came to like business, and I've always loved to have multiple things going on at the same time. But how I really got into entrepreneurship, I was backed in a corner. So I became a single mom with babies. My ex-husband, who had an addiction, ended up walking out on us. And my little kids, they were like 2 and 3 years old.
Wow.
And so at that time, he was the main, you know, breadwinner. And when he walked out, we didn't see him for months. And so here I was with two babies. And at that time, I had done like wedding planning off and on. And so really it was, I worked two jobs and then I started a business. And it really was about, I didn't want my kids in daycare. And so I just looked at like, okay, what do I know to do? What could I do? And I started really thinking through and really praying, because I was at a place where I didn't know what I was going to do. And I was, of course, panicked and freaking out. And I'm like, God, what do I do? Like, look, you know, what do I do? I have two babies. I have the bills coming. And I would say that in that season, God, like, you know, there was like moments where I had to pay like one bill and it just came through. And I was just like a slow process. And I was able to pay like one bill at a time. And then my business kind of slowly started taking off. And really, it was, I would say the first year I ended up making money the first year in my business, which is not awesome.
That's not common. You're right. What led you to start openly talking about mental health and emotional health?
To be honest, it wasn't a subject I ever liked or wanted to talk about. Right. My background is I've done a lot of ministry, and I found over really for the last 20 years, I was constantly working and being with people who struggled mentally and emotionally. And then, of course, I had my own, you know, traumas, many of them. And then I had to deal with my ex-husband and his addiction and all that comes with addiction. And so I just have found myself constantly helping people, working through things. And I went on a deep dive into that space, because what really troubled me a lot was the people who were always stuck, who felt like they got a diagnosis and that was their identity. Right. And they were trapped in this cycle. And it was like, oh, they would improve a little bit and then they would relapse. And so in that time, I just started paying attention to people who got out of their trauma and their cycles and those who stayed stuck. And so over the years, you know, working with like trafficked kids and at the Rape Crisis Center and pastoral care and all of the things, I just started paying attention to patterns and taking like the space of mental and emotional health. We complicate it so much as a culture. And when something is complicated, it makes us feel stuck. So I started just taking these things and just simplifying and trying to make sense of it for me so I could then help the people that I was serving and get my own self out of my pit.
Well, I'm thinking about like when you were first, you know, starting the business and you're trying to figure this out, you had a heart of compassion right from the beginning. I was reading in the notes how you handed a woman at church $700. Like, tell that story. Just like right from the get-go, you were obeying God in ways that were costly to you.
Yeah. So I feel like when I first got saved, I understood this principle of like, if I obey God, then he's faithful. And my salvation story was so radical. So I always kind of just, you know, I just did it. And then I thought about it later, you know? And mm-hmm. So I remember one Sunday, it was when I first became a single mom, like I think it was a couple months later, and there was a woman at my church, and for some reason the Lord just highlighted her to me and he told me, I want you to give her a couple $100s. And at that time, I think I had $700 to my name. Wow. And I remember thinking like, okay, I know that this is your voice, but I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. And so I ended up just giving it to her. And then she ended up like, she was so surprised to receive it. And her eyes got all watery. And she had told me, she said, you know, I left stripping last night.
Wow.
And she was a brand new Christian. She's like, I just got saved. And today I felt convicted to tithe for the first time in my life, because she had just gotten born again. And she had been terrified to give up stripping because that was her main source of income. And so she had given for the first time, and then I came and I gave her, you know, that money, and it just blew her mind. And then I remember, you know, when you're so broke, you know, every penny you got in your bank account, like, you know, exactly what your balance is going to be. And I remember thinking, oh gosh, I'm going to be in the negative. I had paid a couple of bills. And so I remember going to get my bank statement. And they gave it to me, I printed it out, and I looked and my balance hadn't changed. And I knew that all of these bills went through, I had paid for all this stuff. And it showed up that it went through, but the balance was the same. And I was like, how is this possible? Like, and so, I mean, I will say, like, just to encourage any like single mom out there, there is a soft place that God has for single moms and single parents, because sometimes when you're backed up against the wall, God will provide supernaturally. And I would always, you know, see things happen that I couldn't make sense of, but somehow he just came through, you know?
I can tell, Elena, that you're generous of heart. And this story says that you're generous finances. I talk a lot about tithing and offering. And, you know, I can't prove it. The Bible's full of, you know, if you give, I will open the floodgates. I will open the doors of your finances. Could you talk a little bit about about how you feel about generosity and tithing and how that's helped you grow through all these hard times?
Yeah, I think what I have noticed for myself is the moment, because when you're so broke, you kind of have nothing. So for me, it was a little easier. And then when I started getting successful, my deep fear of being in poverty made mm-hmm. me kind of panic and want to pull back in giving. And I, you know, I believe in the New Testament giving is beyond 10%. It's a deep mm-hmm. generosity. And so what I have observed for myself is anytime I feel like I want to take a step back, I feel like God is like, no, this is when you really need to give, and give more where it's uncomfortable. And every time I've done that, what I've noticed is not only did I let go of like my fear, but I started letting go of other things as well. Wanted to control my ex-husband, and I started letting that go. I started letting go of, you know, the outcome of certain things that I didn't have control of. And I just, like, it was almost like one layer after the other was just kind of coming off of me. And it started with releasing my finances. That was the biggest key for me.
That's so huge. I think, yeah. Like, you know, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, or even learning how to hear God's voice. And people ask me, like, in discipleship type moments, like, how do I grow in these things? I'm like, learn it through your finances, because it's one of your biggest trainers, the quickest trainer. It's like, it'll accelerate you. If you want to learn how to hear God's voice, give him your money and see what happens. You know, ask him to how do you want to use it, because it'll change everything. Kind of take us on the journey of your career, because so you start the career, you're a single mom, you were successful in your first year. Take us through kind of the last however many years it's been, and give us the shape of it.
Honestly, entrepreneurship is brutal, and I've hated it, most of it, all the time. And I think that's what people don't tell you. I think mm-hmm. we love to paint beautiful pictures of walking with Jesus. We love to paint beautiful pictures of this entrepreneurship successful road. And but to be honest, I didn't want to be an entrepreneur. I felt like I had no option. And it's entrepreneurship in general, it takes it out of you. And I wish someone had told me, you're going to hate it for a while. I think I would have done so much better with it. But it's really been, I feel like for me, just like a dying of the comfortable. And the when I would fight the uncomfortable, I struggled a lot more. And I would like, you know, I would rage with God, like, why did you leave me here? I don't want to do this. You know, why doesn't my ex-husband, you know, support us? And he, you know, he never gave, you know, to the kids. And I remember feeling so mad about it. And really, I was mad at God over it, because I felt like it should have been easier. And that was a lie, I believed, because I didn't read scripture. And the more I started reading scripture, I first became healthy mentally when I was reading scripture, but I started recognizing the nature of God. And I think I had the theology of like, I read scripture, so I get the power verse, and that's so God will speak to me. But I realized that no, I actually read scripture to understand how God works and how he moves. And so when I started seeing throughout scripture, it was a lot of wilderness, a lot of struggle. That was the crux of Christianity. And so for me, I started recognizing, like, actually, this is normal, like struggling and hating it. This is normal. No one loves to be uncomfortable. No one loves to have to trust God to provide for the next thing. no one loves that. And in that process, like if you let it do its work in you, then you're a lot less phased. And some of us, so many of us are like trapped in the fear of something, but it's like, okay, I think if we go there mentally to the worst possible scenario and we already face it mentally, then we're able to actually do it. And that's what I did. I would just be like, okay, what's the worst that can happen? Okay. I don't really have a choice. I don't want, you know, my kids in daycare. I, you know, I want to be with them as much as possible, you know, and I wanted to leave my other two jobs, you know? And so it was just like one step at a time and almost like giving into the suffering and making almost embracing it to where, and every level you climb, anybody who has expanded in business knows this, it doesn't get easier. You just get used to suffering.
Yeah.
You just get used to the struggle where you're like, okay, I've done this before. Okay, I'm gonna get quicker about not dying here, you know.
it's so funny because Sean and I have consulted with thousands of entrepreneurs and business people, and one of the things I say is, if it was easy, everybody would do it.
Yeah.
Because people are always saying, nobody told me. Like, right. I mean, how could you even begin to say how hard it is? And you said it so beautifully. One of the things I've noticed about you is that you have said a few times that you pay attention and you notice. And I think it's an awareness of you have this God-given gift of awareness of what's out there and what you're coming in contact with. People's issues, who got away from being stuck and who's still stuck. You notice and you're aware. Could you talk to us a little bit about, like, how do you pay attention and how do you notice things?
I think for me personally, it's, and really for anybody, it's, the first step is to get ridiculously honest with yourself.
Wow.
I think we love to create a story that sounds better, that feels better. We like to explain away behavior, our own or someone else's. Mm-hmm. And when I was in my pit, okay, so when I became a single mom, like I wanted to die. I had a lot of psychological traumas and issues and PTSD and I mean, all the things, plus trying to start this business that I, you know, getting it off the ground. What I did was I was really honest with myself, brutally honest about my motive, about things that I fabricated and made it sound better than it was. And the more honest I became, it pushed this humility in my heart. And for me, it was like, if you're honest about where you are, that's the only moment you can hope to tap into something else. But if I just create the story or make it out a certain way, or I lie to myself, you will always lose. You will lose in relationships. You will lose in life. You will lose in business. The best thing you can do is be like, okay, this isn't working in my business. And being to the point where you're like confronting yourself, like actually I'm the problem in this business. That's hard. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the one who can't let go and let someone else run with this thing because I need to control it, or, you know, whatever your dynamic is. I just was brutally honest. I was honest when I was in sin. I was honest when I was in rebellion. I remember like lashing out at God. I'm pretty sure I said a few four-letter words. I even walked away from God because I was so angry because I had gotten radically saved. I paid a price to get saved. And then here I was in this pit, and I remember at those moments, like gravitating to all these other stuff and be like, God, you can't help me. And man, that was such a lie. And so I was even honest about all of that. And then the more honest I became, then I could see, okay, what's my pathway out of here? God, show me what to do. I mean, that was probably my number one prayer was, God, I don't know what to do. Show me what to do. Give me the either bring something into my path, smart, like make me smart because I'm not a business person. I didn't have a business background. Nobody in my family was like this entrepreneur business, whatever. That was not what I grew up in. And so it was like, God, I don't know how to do it. Like you have to make me smart, you know, show me how to navigate this. And, you know, he did with scripture. it was a lot of like discipline, and it was a lot of brutal honesty. Like, actually, I'm struggling because I'm not following this principle, or I'm not following you. You know, it's like, yeah, honesty, it was brutal honesty was the key.
I love that. I love the freshness of the reality of that. I think it's like, it's kind of a lost art, right? Because people get into false positives because they're trying to always upgrade their story or even in themselves feel okay. And I know when I was first in therapy, one of the things my therapist said to me was, you don't lament. And so you don't go to a place of like honesty in yourself or your decisions and other people's decisions towards you and get sad about those things. And actually you make yourself have better character and choose to run past those things. And it's just so dumb that we do it, but we do it because they're so uncomfortable and because we're trying to be the best version. We're trying to be good. We're trying to be your best life now, the whole thing, but it does create like a place where you don't meet God in some of the most difficult moments. So I love what you're saying. I think it's so valuable. Tell us about, in the midst of this, how long did it take in all these years for you to feel like, wow, even though I've hated some of the entrepreneurship and stuff, I'm so grateful for like, it's here. Like I've landed in this space of a company that I've started and I see God all the way around it. Like when was it like you felt like, not arrived, but you feel like it was established or rooted?
This year.
Wow. You know, it's honest. Yeah.
I say that because I have restarted many times. Right. I have to undo, redo. COVID sank us. And to be honest, like there was a period in 2020 where it was before COVID. And I remember the Lord really dealing with me about how tightly I was holding on to my business. I was so afraid of being poor that I worked like a crazy person. And I was so obsessed with achieving and gaining wealth. And he told me to let it go. And I wrestled with it for a long time because in theory, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm letting you go. No, I wasn't. I was holding so tightly because I was so afraid of being poor. And he's like, you have to let this business go. And I had to like let it go from my heart because I was building an empire that I really wanted to escape from. And I stopped building it. And I emotionally, it took me months. Emotionally, I let it go. And then a few months later, COVID hit and I lost 80% of my income that year. And it was like, God was like, this is why I had you let it go. And had I not listened to him, it would have devastated me because I had no mistake in it. But because I had listened to him and I was obedient in it, it really didn't bother me that much. I just started looking at the good. And so what in the entrepreneurship world that I have been in for all these years, it's like, he's like always, sometimes we feel like when God gives us something, that's what we're supposed to do for the rest of our lives. And I don't believe that. I think there are things that God shows us and gives us for the season and then for the next season. And so for me, it was like building my first business was for a season to provide. And then God was like, it's time to switch gears. So I went and I started something else. And then all of those decisions that I made were all terrifying. This most recent thing I started, I didn't have the capital for, and God supernaturally provided it. I started building a venue that I could not afford. I had about half of it and I didn't even know how I was going to finish it, but it was this obedience thing that over the years, you know, I've obeyed God. And it's like, there is the one thing he gives us to do for the ultimate thing that he's called us. And sometimes they're just stepping stones. And for me, it's been a journey of recognizing when the season is done and recognizing if God is in something, because sometimes he's not anymore. And sometimes when something gets like all heavy, it's like, okay, maybe your season's switching. Maybe you need to seek the Lord again and not stay necessarily where you are because it becomes comfortable. So I feel like for me, this year has been a season where God has allowed me to be where I really feel called to be. And then my business is kind of running itself, which I haven't had that luxury. So that's been for me.
I'd like to finish up with the last question. As a mom, as a believer, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, how do you maintain your life at home with your girls?
Well, I don't believe in balance. I don't think that exists. I think.
Did you notice I didn't? I didn't say balance. Did you notice I didn't?
I didn't believe in it either. So yeah.
I did notice that, and I'm glad you didn't say that, because I get like that balance question a lot, and it's like, so maintaining. I would put it back into, like, for me, it's seasons. There are seasons where work is really busy, and my kids have to take a backseat for a little while, and. But then there are seasons where business is quieter and I can fully invest in them. Mm-hmm. And so I've really just kind of gauged it to the season that we're in and being like, this is where we're at right now. This is the season. And so we're just going to navigate this season. I think the most important thing for me, though, is making sure, like, I get with God. God is the having quiet time, which I only learned having quiet time with God a few years ago. It wasn't a thing that I was in, but if I have that, what I've noticed, if I spend time with God, if I read scripture, if I have that quiet, I'm much more productive regardless of the season I'm in. And I used to feel like if I lock away for an hour, I'm going to miss and I'm not going to be as productive. So for me, it's like making sure that I'm with him and then gauging the season as it comes and being like, okay, this is where we're at now. This is where, you know, in a couple months it'll be different. And we just, you know, we just cruise because you can't awesome. You can't control everything. Yeah.
Well, tell us about your book. You wrote a book. We're so excited to hear about it. And tell us about how people can just follow you and connect to you through your organization, everything else you're building.
Yeah. So I wrote a book called Untwist Me, and it deals with mental and emotional health. It's just uncomplicated life hacks for liberation. And so what it really is about is in kind of my world, I've navigated the mental health space a lot in a various, you know, different ways and a lot of different issues. And what I have found is people, when you feel like something is complicated and overwhelming, you freeze and you feel like you can't handle it. If it's too complicated, I can't do anything about it. And so a lot of people navigate mental health in that way. It's so complicated. And so what I've done in this book is I've just simplified a lot of issues when it comes to the mental health space, understanding it, understanding trauma, understanding things like addiction, medication, suicide, demonic, all of the things. I address all of it. It's a little controversial, but what's the point of writing a book unless you're going to make someone mad? but what I really wanted to do and my big mission was, how do I take this overly complicated thing and simplify it for people?
That's great.
So if you're someone who knows the space, you're going to appreciate a lot of that because it's really biblical, scientific, medical, all of the studies are in there. If you know nothing about mental health space, then it'll be easy for you to digest and understand whether you're someone going through it or you're someone who helps people navigate that space. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Elena, do you have a website? Are you on social media? How do people get a hold of you?
Yeah, I just elenahuggins.com. That's my website. And then you can either find the book through the website, there's a link there, or on Amazon. And of course, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, and YouTube. So yeah, all of those.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much for being with us today. This has been awesome. I love your just down to earth reality of how you share from who you are. It's just, you can tell when someone's been through a journey that they can quantify, maybe not the journey, but who God is in the journey. And I love that. I love that. So thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for being a part of Exploring the Marketplace, where faith and business collide to shape culture. Stay ahead with free resources, online courses, and exclusive content at bowlsministries.com. And even dive deeper with our online training, spiritual growth mentoring community, or grab a copy of Wired to Hear, the book that Bob and I co-authored to help you hear God in your career.
We're building a global conversation. You can be part of it. Partner with us or donate today, or recommend new guests for our show to fuel the impact. Let's stay connected. Follow us on social media at Sean Bowles or at Bob Hassan.
And did you love the episode? Share it with your network and leave a review. It helps us so much to reach more people who are ready to bring the kingdom into the marketplace.
See you next time.